Father, Lord God, Father, we just pray that you just lead today, Lord. Help our hearts just to be in the right place, Father. I thank you later, Lord, that people are just professing their love for you, Lord. They are going to come out as new creations, Lord God, as symbolizing, choosing to walk with you and follow you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. Right now, Father, we lift up everyone to you who isn't feeling well, have been going through trials. Father, we lift up Kelly right now, I guess, who's been having a few issues with her heart. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but Father, we just lift our sister Kelly up to you, Lord. And Father, just be with her and give her peace, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that Justine's baby was delivered healthy. It's a preemie baby, Father. There's still a long road ahead, so Father, we just pray, Father, that you be with this child, help him to get stronger every day, and help Justine just to heal quickly, Father. But we do praise you that everything went well. Feel free to stand if you want. I just thank you. I just feel like we walk around this earth, Lord God, before we know you, and we think that we have vision. We think that we can see. But how amazing is it, Lord, that when you speak to us and you open our heart, Lord God, how you open our eyes, Father, and you show us that everything else that surrounds us in this world, it's just not important, Father. But what you want us to do, Lord God, and how we can live, Lord God, in the way that you want us to live, that's the truth, Father. Help us to be hungry for that truth, Father. Help others to see us, Lord God, and say, I'm hungry for that too, Lord.
Yeah.
I do pray that, Lord God, that no matter what we're going through, Father, help us, just help us with that trust, Father. Help remind us, Lord God, of all the times that you've helped us before and you've pulled us out of these trials, Lord, or you've given us strength to walk through them, Father. Help us remember, Lord. Help us to give you glory and give you praise, Father.
Greatness of his power toward us who believe in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
God of wonders.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
To understand, Lord God, what that word holy means, Father. You deserve honor, you deserve praise, you're reverent. Father, help us to know how set apart from the world that you are, Lord God. Help us to be set apart as well, Father. When we walk through this world, Lord God, help us to be strong when we're here, Lord, and also in the same breath, Father, help us to not want to be so much a part of it, Father. I pray, Lord God, that the things that pull us here and draw us closer, call our flesh, Father. I pray, Lord God, that those just get weaker and weaker and weaker, Father. And we just learn so much just to follow only your voice and the Holy Spirit. Help us to not want so many things down here on the earth. Help us to keep our eyes toward heavenly things, Father. We give you this day, Lord, and we just give you our lives, Father. We pray, Father, that you do whatever you want with our lives, Lord God. They're yours to have, Father. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you here today. Amy, did you already pray for Kelly?
I did, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. So please keep Kelly in prayer, if you would. I know some folks from the church are with her this morning, even right now. So I'm very grateful for that. And we'd love to bear in mind. If you need to know her number, if you want to call or text her, maybe text her would be better right in the moment. Just come see me and we'll give you the number. Okay, well, we have a few things to go over real quickly, and before we get on to the lesson, and so let's get right to it, shall we? We've got a few things going on. We do have free loaves of Panera bread. I think it's at my house, Lisa, or your house, I guess our house. I think it's at our house, or do you guys bring
it?
Okay.
There should be a bag somewhere.
Back in that corner? Okay, so we got loaves of Panera bread. Take them home. They're a free gift in Jesus' name. If there's any left, there's some really beautiful crunchy loaves. Big fat loaves of bread there. Just take them in Jesus' name. Okay, a couple other things we have. We don't take up tithes and offerings here. If you want to give us tithes and offerings, you just put it back in a little bird box in the back there. And just give that free in Jesus' name. Gary is and his wife are out of town, and so I'm going to wait on this and also the QuickBooks training. So I'm going to wait on some of that. Actually, I'm going to wait on a lot of this because I want to give you something special. Not that all these things aren't special. But again, if you'd like to join us here for Sunday morning prayer, I hate it when I miss it, but we'd love for you to join us. I think Joel and Heidi led it this morning. But we'd love to have you join us here Sunday mornings for prayer. Also, the men's Monday night Bible study, purity Bible study, you're welcome, is here at 6:30 to 8 o'clock. This week, youth group is the Transformer. Josh and Amanda Panda. And so, by the way, the Panda isn't their last name. A couple people have asked me that. You know the Panda family. You know Josh. Josh Panda? Amanda? No. So it's Josh and Amanda. I just nicknamed her Amanda Panda. Okay, so. Anyway, hey Josh, if you would, before you go today, or if you're going to baptism, could you talk to me about Brandon? Brandon. Yes, thank you, thank you. I remember that. Okay. Also, Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study that we're having. And this week's topic is on... Mark Manley, would you shut it out or as much as you can?
Identity in Christ.
Okay, our identity in Christ.
Identity in Christ.
Okay.
We are in Him.
Okay. This, please be in prayer. She's not here today. But, well, actually, I'll tell you that in a minute. It's really cool stuff. It's really a neat thing. Again, I can put the pictures there again. Okay, continue to please pray for our folks who were just baptized here, but we actually have a baptism again at our house already, as we have a couple of more people who are going to get baptized today, and they just want to get baptized, and so even though we just had the baptism at the beach, we're having another one at our house, so you guys are absolutely invited. We're just going to have hot dogs you can bring aside, all the normal Panera goods that we have in the mornings. It's at our house. So we'd love for you to come. Don't feel pressure. We know there's lots of things going on, but if you would like to come and encourage those getting baptized today, you are welcome to come. We'd love to have you, and you're welcome to swim afterwards and be a part of that. So I took, for those of you who don't know, Nick and Isabella are getting baptized, otherwise known as Summer Fat or Punky. And so, woo-hoo! Yeah, you can call that. I just brought them out back because I just want to make sure you guys know what you're doing, right? Okay, and we kind of went through, okay, baptism is just an outward sign that God is doing a supernatural work in your heart. He's changing your heart, your direction, your life. I want to make sure that you guys understand and, you know, I almost wish I may have them say it, but I don't want to put them on the spot because I know they don't like that. But, you know, they both had me in tears. Like, yes, I we understand that, you know. It's like, I'm not the same person I was. I kind of was just like with God. When it came to God, it was kind of like out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to think about it so I can kind of live my own way that I want to live. I don't want to think about it anymore. Now I just realize, you know, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's changed me. He's done a work in my heart. I know that everything's going to work out, even if we have the worst stuff come at me. God is going to be there. And me getting baptized is just my first step in wanting to be a servant of His. I just want to serve Him all my life now. And I was just like, well, that's good. Okay. And then, you know, and I just said, you know, and I just seen such a change in Nick as we've been going through that counseling and stuff like that, and also, you know, Isabella too, you know, just her words too just had me in tears. I'm like, you know, were you doing this as a public profession of faith? And she's like, yes, I am doing that, but I'm really doing this for one person, and that's Jesus. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And she's like, you know what, even at the last baptism, you know, God just spoke to me, not even right then. He's like, I want you to get baptized, and I want you to do it for me. And she's like, I'll do it. She's like, you know what? I'm not even the same person, because I've seen such a change in her. She's going to hate that I embarrass her, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, so here's my impression of Isabella. Ready? For the first couple months, you ready? Here's my impression of her coming to church. Ready?
I don't think that's true.
Hey! Person I was from August to now. Even last month, I'm not the same person. And I just want to encourage you. I see the Lord working in both of you. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And so don't let anything, anyone, stop you from following Christ. So I'm excited about baptizing you both. You're all invited to come over. You can pray over them, give a word. The Lord gives you a word, whatever. And I don't know if there'll be 7 people or 17 people or 70 people, but you're all welcome. Okay. Also, besides the baptism, Jim, can you come up here just for a second? I know you don't like to talk in front of people, too. But after the baptism, there's a movie. And so would you mind spending just a minute talking about that? A movie.
I asked Darren if I could invite the church along on a challenge God gave me. And a little background. If you know me, you know I am a dollar movie type of girl. But I am definitely not an opening weekend movie type of girl because there's lots of people and I don't do well in crowds. But God challenged me that when Christian movies come out, to really support them and to try and be their opening weekend. Because those opening weekend numbers make a huge difference. And if we want to continue to see Christian movies come to the theaters, then we need to be supporting them. Because if we're not going, then they're not going to keep producing them, and they're not going to be out there for other people to watch as well. A little bit about this movie. I'm not the greatest at explaining things, so I'm going to read right from the book what a couple of other people said. And the movie is based directly on the book. It's a true story. is what one person had to say. It says, prepare to be inspired and changed as you read the tapestry of two men's lives stitched together by the power of God's love. Ron Hall and Denver Moore invite you to walk with them on their journey of growth, pain, and joy. One man's story of worldly success, the other of complete poverty, brought together through the vision and perseverance of a godly woman. Their story is a message for us all to reach out beyond ourselves and make a positive difference in the lives of others. And another wrote, this book is more than a memoir. It captures the presence of the only spirit that can transform the problems facing our society. When one person sets aside their own needs and misconceptions and steps purposefully and prayerfully into the life of another, miracles happen. Both lives are improved, and the world gets a glimpse of real live grace. I'm grateful to Ron and Denver for sharing their story and pray we'll continue inspiring people to invest themselves in the simple personal solutions that can change our world.
Sounds good. Thanks. And the tickets are about $6.30, and it'll be right after. It's actually, the movie theater is like right across the street from our house. So, hey, you come get some food, you get a baptism, you rejoice in the Lord, and you'll be encouraged in your faith. Such a deal! All right. Sorry, guys. Don't do that. Never do that. Okay, so we're going through the Word of God, verse by verse. We are in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Yes. Chris, would you mind just grabbing some Bibles? And if anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. Carrie?
The theater, is that out by you? Is that by Walmart?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yep, and Jen will be reading the truth.
It's called the Carmichael.
It's called the Carmichael?
Isn't it?
AMC.
No AMC.
Now I'm spoiled.
Did they change names?
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Things that...
What's it called now?
The Lazy Boy chairs. They are the best.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get there myself.
It's an AMC.
So long has it been there?
Oh, it's not problem anymore.
I don't think so.
Hey, is somebody all already in Colossians? Okay, got a couple people. Okay, that's okay. Would somebody mind reading Colossians chapter 1? If you're a good reader, I'm going to have you read a few verses, like just from like 16 on, and it's going to give me just a minute to get there myself. If you would read that real quick for us, if you're a good reader, a quick reader.
From what?
From Colossians chapter 1, 16 through the end of the chapter.
Oh,
all right, don't make me call on you. You're really going to call on you then. Nobody's going to do it. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to the end of chapter 1. Yeah, that'll give me a minute to get there myself.
For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. Spirit.
It's up front.
He is the beginning, the first one of the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Here is the Father's good pleasure from all the fullness to dwell in us, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose, I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me.
If you guys missed, last week Mark did a great job in his teaching. If you guys missed the teaching on chapter 1, there was a few of them in there. I would really encourage you to do that, to listen to that, because it's important. We left off basically, and then this basically just saying that, you know, Jesus said some pretty serious words. You know, we can't shirk back from our responsibility in Christ. And he said some pretty strong words. I thought there's no neutral territory with Christ. Jesus said, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working for me or with me is actually working against me. That's a strong statement. Or as the message puts it, this is war. And there's no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. That's the message version. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, but a lot of people, do you understand that you're in a battle? See, if you're really following Christ, you understand you're in a battle. Now, if you're not following Christ, you're like, what is he talking about? Battle? War? Whatever? Because you're actually working against the Lord. If you're not working for him, you're actually working against him. Those are strong words. We talked about the gospel. He's here to preach the gospel. What that is, basically, it's a little acronym there, gospel. God created us to be with him. Mark talked about that Thursday. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, even though they had a relationship, they would walk with the Lord. But that sin separated them. It cut off, it severed completely that relationship with the Lord. Gone, finito. And so an only way to restore that relationship, a right relationship with him, is by God. And so God has created us to be with him. He has a purpose. We'll talk about that in a bit. Our sins separate us from a holy God. The best of our good works are like filthy rags compared to a holy God. It separates us from the Lord. And our sins can't be removed by those good works. And paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And everyone who trusts in the Lord will have eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now, today, and lasts forever or for eternity. That's the gospel in a nutshell. In Colossians chapter 2, we're just going to talk about how Christ is enough. Okay, the world's going to tell you continuing things. Everything you possibly need to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be joyful, to be content. And it's the money, it's the relationship, it's the car, it's the whatever. And Christ is enough. And that's what we're going to talk about in Colossians chapter 2 as we go into that. All right. Chris, can you hit the lights just for a second? Thanks, buddy. Now, if anybody didn't notice, this really cool shirt that I got. Okay. When we talked about a couple of weeks ago, right, we talked about that Colossians verse, in Christ Jesus, in him, all things hold together. And atoms make up all matter, right? And they don't know why it's held together. You know, they call it God glue. Non-Christians call it God glue. Hello! Those protons should be ripping apart, right? Massive amounts of energy. That's what nuclear energy, right? But in him, all things hold together. So anyways, they got me that shirt. That looked really nice. Okay. So the last few verses in Colossians chapter 1, right before it goes into Colossians chapter 2. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, so we proclaim him. That's Jesus. You know, we don't proclaim, look, a church is not going to save you. A denomination, a non-denomination is not going to save you. I'm not going to save you. Mommy and daddy are not going to save you. Jesus is going to save you. There is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. Jesus will save you. So we preach him. We proclaim him. We admonish and teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That's why we go through the Bible, so that you can learn the whole counsel of God, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It goes on to say, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And he goes in verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling, and we'll talk about that in a minute, with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So Paul's like saying, I'm working hard. I'm struggling for you. I'm teaching you. I'm praying for you. I'm trying to be an example for you. That's what we all are to do for one another, for Christ Jesus. Right? Mark.
On that last slide that you have before this one, can you go back to that? Because I'm like, Jesus Christ starts when?
Now.
Yes. And lasts how long?
Forever.
So is that not what you just read, a good example of how Jesus started working in Paul right then?
Yes.
He didn't have to wait until he got to heaven.
That's right.
He started right then.
Absolutely.
And it lasts all the way through heaven.
Absolutely.
But we don't have to wait for it to start, because Jesus wants to start right now.
He wants to start working. He began a good work in you. Is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. It's him who works in you to work and to will. We'll get to that in a second too. But absolutely. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. It starts off. Paul's saying, he's writing to this, to the Colossians church, and to that. He's like, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not met me purposely. Listen, what he's saying in this verse, in chapter 2, verse 1, and also in chapter 1, verse 29, that word struggling is the Greek word agon. And it basically, that was the name of the Olympic arena. Okay, and agon is where the Greeks would all go do their Olympic games, right? And it means to fight, to wrestle, to struggle, to race, to win. And so what Paul is saying here, right here, is I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you. When, as I'm trying to teach you, as I'm trying to be an example, listen, as I'm praying for you, you know? And this is the cool thing. He's like, I'm wrestling in prayer. It's not like, Lord, I just thank you for this day and help us to have a good, fun day. He's like, no! No, he's like, man, I'm wrestling for you. Listen, Nick is getting baptized today. I'm sure this morning, all hell is unleashed on his home. Because everything's trying to stop him from going there. You guys already know this, if you've been saved. We had a girl, Thursday night, she's a woman, give her life to Christ. Okay, Thursday night, spent the whole time weeping. And it was the body working together. Somebody met with her a year ago and spoke to her, encouraged her in the Lord. Spent hours with her. Somebody else gave her a ride to church. Someone else made the connection. Someone else is providing a bed for her to sleep on. Someone else in a box spring, and someone else is, there's so many people involved in someone else is loaning her a scooter so she can get to work and get to church. But she was here Thursday night just weeping the whole time. And of course, she's like, I don't know what's going on. But it was like, God, you're speaking right to me. Me. Now, you guys who know the Lord personally, what is that? Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit speaking right to her. She's weeping the whole time. And in the end, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And you're going to say, I can't wait. She was texting me last night. I gave her some stuff to read. She's like, I don't know what's the matter with me. I should be so depressed. I'm filled with so much joy. I don't understand it. I'm like, great. That's what our Lord does. But we need to be in prayer. We need to be praying, struggling. It's not just sort of a prancing through the posies as we go along. Listen, we need to be out there working, serving, not in our own flesh, but in the power that He gives as He leads. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. In His power, right? Because if we do it in the flesh, you're going to be really frustrated. You're going to want to rip your hair out, and you're going to spin your wheels and not get anywhere. So He's saying, I'm struggling, I'm fighting, I'm contending. You know, if I picture, you know, if you ever watch a good boxing, or maybe I should bring it up to you, Pastor. Anyway, but if you've ever watched like an MMA or a boxing, you know, it's, wow, the fight is going on, that's what's happening. I'm struggling with all His might, you know. I'm wrestling those Greco-Roman wrestlers in those weird little tight things. But anyway, He's saying, I'm struggling for all those who are in Laodicea. And He says this, for those I don't even know personally. I don't know if I should do this, but I'm going to. Some of you people don't know some other of you people super well. But can I ask you a question? Have you ever prayed, really fervently prayed and been praying for people that you don't know real well? Mm-hmm. Would you just raise your hand? I want you to see. Raise your hand. Look at all the hands. Have been praying for people that they don't even really know. Paul is doing the same thing. He's like, I've never even been to Laodicea. I don't even know you guys personally, but I know you guys in Christ. And I'm wrestling for you in prayer. And I want you to bring, I want to bring you the message, and I want to bring you God's heart, and I want to bring you His word, and I want to pray for all of God's Spirit, that God would open the eyes of your heart, just like you were using in that prayer earlier, Mark. He's like, I'm struggling for you, I'm praying for you. And again, for you guys who weren't here, the word aeon, it's the same word where in 2 Timothy 4:7, where he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's why the Bible keeps talking about, hey, this is war. Hey, it's wrestling. Hey, we're fighting. Hey, we're... Because you know why? We can get lazy. Come on. Isn't it true?
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Lazy. I can't believe the pastor's calling me lazy.
Lazy!
I can too, right? He said, I fought the good fight. Same word, aeon there. I'm struggling. You know, later, there's a guy by the name of Epaphras in Colossians 4:12. He says the same thing. And Paul's talking about, he said, Epaphras, who is one of you from Laodicea, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. Isn't that awesome? That you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I love that. I pray for more and more people who would start taking things seriously. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to make that extra call. I'm going to spend that time discipling. I'm going to pray for them, even if they don't even know Him super well. That's what I'm going to do. I love that.
So could we ask the Lord to give us someone that He wants us to pray for and struggle for?
You know what? We could do that right now. We're going to do that right now. That's a good question. How about we just stop everything? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You would put someone on our mind or on our heart today to struggle, to fight for, to pray over, Lord God, to wrestle, to away from this world and the enemy, Lord, that You would just put them on our minds and hearts, that we would be praying for them, we would be ministering to them, we would be serving them with Your power. So, Lord, put someone on our hearts and minds today that we may do that. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. He's always wrestling in prayer that you may stand firm in your faith and the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's what we want. As we're encouraging you, as we're equipping you, as we're praying for you, as we're doing these things, we want you to be mature, fully equipped, fully assured. And we, for those of you who weren't here early, we're talking, it's Laodicea and Colossae and Hierapolis is part of a little triangle of cities that are still, the ruins are still there today. It's in modern-day Turkey. Okay? Chris, can you hit the lights for just a second? Somebody said they can't see. There's Laodicea, some of the ruins that you even see here today. So you can see these places that the Bible mentions. They're historically true, archaeologically accurate. They exist. Okay? The Bible is true. Okay? Whether you want to believe it or not, that's your own biz. You know, some people do, some people don't. They're not even paying attention. This is Hierapolis. All right? This is the Tell of Colossae. Okay? So he's praying for these people that he hasn't even met yet. And he goes on to say this. Thanks, Chris. Well, I guess I could have read it on the screen. But he says in Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3, but he starts in 2, he says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And that first thing there that it talks about is my purpose. And if you've been around at all, you know that people are struggling with their purpose. They are floundering. They are drowning and they don't even know it. And they're just struggling. They don't know what their purpose is. I took a couple things. I was going to take more, but it just got so depressing. But this is the reality of it. I took this up. This is up a private, it's a website that allows you to share your thoughts privately. Okay? And so I just took a couple. My purpose. But listen to this. This is true words from real people. I can feel myself slipping back in depression. I just thought by this point in my life, I'd have things going. My life seems so cruel and twisted. What's my purpose? Why was I put on this earth? Life for me is like a sick joke. Real thoughts. Maybe some of you have thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. I hate my life. No love, no friends, I'm useless. What's the point? Sounds stupid, but what is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? And people are asking this, and people are struggling with these questions and the reality of these things. And if you don't know your purpose in life, if people are so messed up, you're seeking after the wrong things. I saw a commercial, just to lighten it up slightly. I don't know if anybody has seen this commercial. I was going to show it, but I have another video that I was going to show at the end, so I decided not to. It's all in German. I showed it to my wife and my son. But you can tell what's going on. It's basically, it's for an iPad, okay? And the daughter is getting her dad a beautiful, powerful iPad. And so she's sitting there, they're making a salad together, you know, as they're talking, and she's tossing the salad and he's chopping up the vegetables, you know, dicing the onions and all that type of in the background. And she's sitting there explaining to him, you know, how amazing this iPad is and how useful it's going to be and how purposeful it is in his life and what a valuable gift it was for him. And just how, oh, it's going to be so amazing. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. Yes, this iPad, a valuable gift. Very useful. Absolutely. And as he comes over, I don't know if you can see it, as he's... That's his knife as he was dicing up the onions. And he brings over
a cutting board.
That's what he's been cutting on. He goes over there to the salad and he goes and the daughter's like and then he goes over to the sink, rinses it off, and puts it in the dishwasher. The daughter's like, but you know what? It's kind of it's a funny thing. But, you know, in one sense, though,
right,
it's kind of a sad illustration on what a lot of people's lives are like. God has given them a purpose, and they are totally don't get it. And they're totally frustrated. It's like them taking the iPad that could be so useful, right, and using it as a cutting board. You know? important. You know, Mark Twain said something. He said the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why you're born. The Bible kind of puts it this way, okay? You know, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that God has put eternity into a man or a woman's heart. In other words, he's put something else in there. You know you're not just here for yourself. You know. God has put that calling of eternity in your heart. And whatever you try to fill it with, you know it's not working for you. It's not. You have to know that. You wouldn't be here, even if you're fighting against it. You know it's not working. And if I had to have the Bible encapsulate what the purpose is for life, my purpose, you know, as a general thing for all of us, and your translation might be able to say it a little differently, but Isaiah 43:7 says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." We are made for God's glory.
Amen.
We are made for God's purposes, not our own. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the deal. If you're trying to, you know, do things in your human effort and you're running after this and that, you are so miserable. It's no secret. It's no secret. You might think it's a secret. You're a miserable person. Oh, I don't care. You put on the persona. I'm so strong. Oh, I got it so together. I got whatever. You are a miserable, wretched person. You are a lonely, fearful, empty, angry, hateful person. Bingo. If you're trying to do things in human efforts or worldly efforts, you're missing the point. Acts 5:38-39 says that everyone has a purpose. For there was a time when the disciples were telling people about Jesus, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were against them. They were trying to stop them. And one of them said, "Hey, you know, stop it." He said, "For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it's going to fail. If your purpose in life is human stuff, is worldly stuff, you're going to end miserable. You're going to end in failure. But if it's from God, you're not going to be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourself fighting against God." And that's the truth. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's when you're going to find joy. That's when you're going to find true what it really means to be happy is in the Lord. Philippians 2:13 says it this way when it talks about God's purposes. "For it is God who works in you." If you're a Christian now, it's different. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose." To fulfill his good purpose. So if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, he's working in you to do his work, to do his will in your life, to fulfill his good purpose. That's why you desire the Lord. That's why there's a change in your heart, your direction. Psalm 40:8 says, Now I desire to do your will, my God, for your law is written on my heart. It's a totally different story. And we have his promises. If you're in Christ as a Christian, Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God works all things together for the good, for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purposes." That's where you're going to find fulfillment in. And that's where you're going to find ultimate joy and direction. Now, personally, it also says in Colossians 2:2, "My purpose." Now, here's the thing. That's our general purpose, right, is to glorify the Lord. But have you thought about this? What's your purpose? Now, don't get me wrong, it's to glorify God, right?
Right.
Whatever you say, whatever you do, work, school, whatever, home, husband, wife, kids, glorify the Lord. But what is your purpose personally? He's given you unique abilities. He's given you unique character. And he wants you to do something personally. What is your purpose? You know, I can tell you mine. Mine is to encourage and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what he's called me to do. I want you to know the full counsel of God. I want you to be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. When you come in here, I want to encourage you. I want to equip you, Lord, so that you can go out and fight the good fight of faith. That's my goal. That's what he's spoken to me personally. What is your purpose? Yes, Ms. Ward.
You know, one thing I realized in my life and for a lot of other people in that as well, everybody is looking for relationships to be real and loving and caring. And they don't know how to have those relationships really apart from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so we talk about purpose. A lot of people are lonely in this world. Lonely and looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes.
And what's wonderful about the body of Christ is that God places the lonely. It says here in Psalm 65 or 68:6 that he places the lonely in the families or communities.
Yes.
So that they can learn what true love is all about. And true relationships are all about. Because you're only going to learn that through a relationship with Jesus Christ first, and then with the God in Christ.
Yes.
So that's people looking for love.
Amen. And you'll find no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. He just won't. Hey, honey, Ricardo, and you in the back, hey, would you guys just sit down? Would you mind doing that? Could you just have a seat somewhere? I'm sorry, I'm just finding it super distracting. Yeah, would you just have a seat? Thanks, somewhere. You grab a stool or something. Just grab a chair or something. That'd be super duper. I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. You know, my purpose is that they be encouraged in heart. You know, I watched many people come in here, and I just think of that girl who was here Thursday, and the whole body reaching out to her. That night, she was fed, she was happy, she was encouraged, she was given rides to church, she was given a bed, she was given encouraged in heart. I'm looking, as a Christian, we should all be encouraging, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at some of the people in here, and I think Nathan's family's not here today, but I think to myself, Nate, since he's not here, I'll use him as his family isn't here today. You know, Nate is a wonderful encourager. Have you ever been around him?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have been encouraged by Nate? Isn't that great?
And a long time, too.
And a long time, too. He has.
Oh, yeah. I know in my Christian retreat.
See? And he's been encouraging you for
wonderful
years.
Wonderful family.
Yes. You know what? As Christians, we should be encouraging the hearts of one another, right? And the more selflessly we live, right? The more we're not focused on self. You know, when people come here, they're like a black hole. You know, if they don't know the Lord, they're like, it's all about me. Focus on me. You know? Now, when you become Christ, you get filled, that void gets filled in your heart. And then you're like, I just want to give it away. I just want to encourage, bless. And the more you grow and mature, the more that will happen in your life. You know, I see you as a wonderful encourager. I watch you around the kids, and I watch you encouraging others. And some of you, too, amazing encouragers, steadfast, blessing people. Sometimes I think to myself, there's a scripture verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Just in fact, you're doing, and there's so many of you encouraging one another, but in Christendom in general, I think people read this verse and says, therefore, discourage one another, you know, and tear each other down. Do not be one that tears others down. Build them up. Encourage. God has put people in your life on purpose so that you can be a blessing to them. Don't live to get, live to give. Purposely, be an encourager. We need more of you in the body. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily, every day. You have an opportunity. I actually pray. I say, Lord, will you just help me? Give me somebody to encourage today. Daily. As long as it's called today, so that, and here's the reason, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, right? That sin is hardening hearts around you. And they need you in Christ to overflow Jesus to them, to encourage them, to purposely struggle, to purposely give it out, right? Anybody can be discouraged. If you live in this world, you're going to find out the most selfish, self-centered people in the history of the planet. Because that's the world for you. And they're going to suck you dry. Isn't that true? Now listen, if you're in Christ, you can overflow with living water. And we do that even through the Word. That's why we preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. This will strengthen you in Christ Jesus, the Word of God. Or Philemon 1:7, your love has given me great encouragement because you refresh the hearts of the Lord's people. As the Word gets into you, as you hide it in your heart, man, it's going to change your life and you're going to overflow Him to others. And honestly, when you see that in action, that love overflows into other people. And it says, my purpose is that they be encouraged in heart and united in love. And listen, Mark 12:30 says this, and you guys already know it. He says to love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. In fact, listen, this is something that is, I think we fail as Christians, but a new command I give you in John 13:34-35, he says to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love me. By this, everyone, you will know that my disciples, if you have tons of Bible knowledge, if you go to a Christian church, youth group, church, even on barbecue and Bible study, pancakes Thursdays, if what? If you love one another, if the Word's getting into you, right, you'll become stronger in the love of the poor heart. And here's a good question. What? Now, don't get me wrong. We can all have bad days. Isn't it true? Yes. The most loving person you know has a bad day. Now and again. And they become ornery, cranky, whatever you want to say, nasty. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what normally flows out of you? You have to ask yourself that question. What is flowing out of you to other people? And if it's not the love of the Lord, and you need to do business with Him. You need to ask Him, God, what's going on in my life? What is not right? Something is amiss here. Something's wrong. Will you fix it? Help me to go back to my first love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, with your love. It's important. In fact, Galatians 5:22 says that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's supposed to grow. When people look at the tree of our life, so to speak, and the fruit that comes out of it, it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. He produces love. And how that looks is it comes through joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what comes out of our lives. Now, I can only do that by the power of Christ. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
There's some people I would not love apart from Jesus. But Jesus loves them, and so I love them. And so should you. This is the last thing I'm going to say about love here. He wants us united in love, because that will be a strong button. The enemy can't come in if there's a lot of love. See, he's always trying to cause division and deceit. He's always trying to cause discouragement and criticism. That's what the enemy does. He wants to use you to do that. That's why he wants you to be united in love. And Corinthians 13:1-3 says, listen, you know, but Pastor Darren and I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I speak in the tongues of angels. And I have, listen, here's what it said. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a noisemaker. I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Sometimes, if you have boys, you know this blessing. If you have boys, sometimes my boys try to say and do things to get on each other's nerves.
No.
I don't know where they learned it.
Really?
Anyway.
Not us.
So when one of my little kids will just make, like, I want to do the noise. Okay? But I'll just do the annoys over and over again. It's like a resounding gong. And here you go. If you don't have love, you have all these gifts, you're just a noisemaker. Right? And he goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy, that's pretty an amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you can fathom all mysteries, you have an unbelievable understanding, grasp of the scripture, you have all knowledge, you can repeat all of John chapter 1 through the end of the book. That's amazing. And if I have faith that can move the mountains, but I have not love, I... If I give all my possessions to the poor, that's a lot. I'm not just talking part. I can give part. If I give everything I have to the poor, right? If I give my body over the flames, but I don't have love, I would think I would gain a lot. But the Bible tells me I gain nothing. My purpose is that they be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God in Christ. And listen, this is just what I want to say about this. God wants us to have complete understanding. And Proverbs 2:6 says, the Lord is the one who grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He is where you're going to find complete understanding. For life, for godliness. 2 Peter puts it this way, 1:4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us his very great and precious promises, the word of God, so that these are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature, having escaped from the world's corruption caused by human desire. That's why the enemy tries to keep you away from the God's word all the time. Because it will give you that complete understanding. It will give you that strength to be able to escape the world's desires and everything that comes against it. And everything that comes against you. And it says, in order that they, meaning us, may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. That you may know Christ. Now, some people might get confused by this. They may know the mystery of God, which is Christ. Well, the mystery is something you don't know, right? Like, Wendy Jo Lowe did a game night here, and one of the games they played, I don't know if you remember this.
Oh,
yeah. Clue? Yeah. Okay. Clue. It's a mystery game, right? It's a whodunit murder mystery. For those of you who haven't played, okay, you don't know. There's a murder. You don't know who did it. You have no idea. It could be, it's always Colonel Mustard. That's what I remember. It's always Colonel Mustard. But anyway, Colonel Mustard with a candlestick, or Miss Scarlet with a knife, or Professor Plum with a rope. It's a mystery. You don't know who it is. You don't know the answer. But when he says, I want you to know the mystery in a biblical sense is something that could only have been revealed by God.
Yes.
So what he's saying is, like, don't think of it as, I want you to know the mystery is Christ. Who is this Christ Jesus guy? I don't know. No, he wants you to know the mystery. And that mystery in a biblical sense means something that could only be known if it was revealed to you by God. So he's like, I want you to know. I want you to have this revelation, to know this Jesus. Like, for example, in Clue, once you found out it's Colonel, or whatever, Mrs. White in the study with the whatever gun. Okay, now there's no more mystery. Right? In the Bible, in a biblical sense, not because it's been revealed. That's who Christ is. He has been revealed. Yes, Paul?
We were actually talking a little bit about that in our prayer time today, and that word revealed is the same word that is used in Hebrew and Greek to pull back the curtain.
Yes.
So that we can see what's going on and enjoy the play as it unfolds.
Yes.
So that's, we can ask the Lord to pull back the curtain so that he can reveal to us what is going on in these circumstances and in these situations that we're living in and living through.
Amen. And then he says this, in whom are hidden, okay, so I'm not getting very far. Okay, in whom are hidden some of the treasures. So he wants you to know the mystery of God. He wants you to know Jesus, in whom are hidden some of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you believe that?
Oh, yes.
Think about what he's saying. in Christ, in whom are hidden what?
All
of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a big thing to say, isn't it? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Huh?
Just for a little word.
Yeah. That's good.
What do you think about it? Solomon, David's son, he asked for wisdom from the Lord. He was the wisest man ever, mm-hmm. and that was from the Lord, so yeah. I guess it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But you can have tons of wisdom, right, and it not be of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Solomon. He had wisdom, he just chose not to use it. But you can be, I've got worldly wisdom, you know what? There are things that I know how to do and say and to manipulate people. Since I didn't get saved until I was 30, right? I know how to do that. I know how to help you get a guy or a girl. I know how to get money and rob people of their things. I know how to. I've got a lot of wisdom. But that's not really a treasure, is it? You see, in Christ, he's hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You're not going to get it from the world, or the world system, or the world's ways. Listen, I'm not saying you go to a great college, great school, wonderful for you. You read a lot of books. This is where you're going to find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, what's real. You're going to find it in Christ Jesus. There's a... That is a big fool. Yes, you're right. This is William Randolph Hearst. How many of you guys have heard of him? Okay, some, yeah. Okay, great. Well, anyway, he was like a really popular guy, a few years back. And he was a politician. I think he was U.S. representative. He was lots of money. He was a newspaper mogul, right? He owned about 34 papers. And back then, okay, picture like if somebody today owned Fox News, CNN, ABC, NBC. I think they'd be pretty rich. You know what I'm saying? So he owned like 30, 40 papers across the country. So he was really, and he had an extensive art collection, one of the biggest in the world. And this is one of his castles in California, the Hearst Castle in California.
Castle.
Still there? Yes, this is the pool, one of the pools, actually. This has a mere 350,000 gallons of water.
Why do we need one more?
Because, if you don't know the Lord... Okay, so this is the internal pool. That's a little closer to the cottage, closer to the house. Okay, I think it's about 40, maybe 40 rooms altogether in his house. Here's just another little picture of one of his rooms. All right, so here's the Hearst Castle. You can kind of see, this is the estate. This is in California. Okay, so here's that huge pool you were seeing.
That thing right there.
This is his house in the shape of an H. The indoor pool, you can see the tiny thing is right there. Okay, so this is a huge, the main bedroom, the main house has 38 bedrooms by itself. So he had a lot of stuff. So sometimes you just don't even know what he had. And so William Randolph Hearst was looking for some famous artwork and some famous pieces, and he was looking through a book and a really famous, expensive, amazing piece of artwork. It caught his eye. And so he told his people, I want this painting for my collection. This is an amazing treasure. I want you to find this. I don't care what the cost. But after making some inquiries, his aides said, and they reported, and they quote, were unable to locate the particular work. And Hearst said, and I quote, if you value your jobs, do whatever it takes to find that treasure and secure it for me immediately. And so 3.5 months later, the aides returned to Hearst. Did you find the treasure, he asked? Yes, they replied. After much searching and painstaking research, we finally scoured the globe and found it. Did you purchase it? He asked. And they said, no. He said, what? Why not? Hearst asked, because we found it in your warehouse. So too, Paul says in Colossians, You already have all the wisdom, all the knowledge you'll ever need to get through life successfully. It's all in Christ. If you have Jesus, you already have it. Quit searching. Something else to fulfill you. You have it all already in your warehouse. It's all hidden in Christ Jesus. The Bible puts it this way, and I think I put it on here, that His divine power has given us, you and me, everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to stop there, even though I really wanted to get to the next part here. Yes, I'm going to stop there. Yep.
I'm sorry for that.
Nope. But you see nothing.
Good thing he came.
Nor did they ever came. Next week we're going to talk to Paul. He's going to say, hey, I don't want anybody to take you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophies based on the thinking of this world. There's a whole pattern of thought that the world is going to try to shove down your throat and tell you it's right, and tell you it's okay, and tell you it's good. And God is saying, you have everything in me, my heart, my word, and my spirit. And that's the truth in Jesus' name. Alright, any comments before I close out in prayer?
I do. It's all there. The thing is we've been so busy on, our lives, whatever you want to call it, that we don't listen. We don't take the time, I guess the best example, at one time, way in back in my life, I had a watch that told, that dinged every hour. And every time that, where it says you should be praying without ceasing kind of a routine, I got in the habit of when that thing dinged, okay, I'd say, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, whatever. I ended up giving that to a friend who needed that. All right, haven't ever gotten another watch like it, but I should. But my whole point is that we don't take the time, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you want to call it, to shut everything down, to shut our brains down and say, okay, can I hear from you? Or thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's it.
That's a good word. The good news is you can stop that today.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you need for life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. Father God, I just thank you for this wonderful crowd, Lord God. I thank you for each person who's here is hearing your voice. I pray, Lord, if they're searching after things or they don't know you in that way, and they don't even know you yet, and their relationship is still severed from you, Lord, there's a heaven and a hell, and they're not going to heaven. So I pray in Jesus' name that they would surrender to you and to your lordship of their life right now, Lord God. Lord, I pray that they would ask to have you come into their heart and life to guide them, to lead them, Lord. For it's your will, Lord, and your ways, Lord. That's why we're here. And if there's anybody who's spinning their wheels so frustrated, Lord, trying to hold it all together with all their own strength, Lord, I pray that you would bring them to a point where they just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Not to mock them or anything else, just so that they would look up flat on their back and say, Jesus, I need you. Will you save me now? Will you change my life? Just like you're doing in Nick's life, just like you're doing in Isabella's life, just like you're doing in all the lives of the people here who have received you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for those here today who are Christians who may be struggling, who aren't listening, just like Mom was saying, Lord, who maybe aren't taking the time to pray or to fight or to struggle for the brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would reorient their thoughts and our thoughts right now, that we would be in this fight, in this war, in this battle, Lord, doing whatever you would have us to do with all your strength and power, Lord God, that they would come to know the fullness of who you are, to be mature and complete in you, not lacking anything. Bless your people today, Lord. Train them and encourage them in Jesus' name, Lord God. And I pray also, if you have any sort of word or prayer or prophetic word for Isabella or for Nick, Lord, at the baptism, that you would put it on, or even a word of encouragement, maybe, Lord God. even as we're speaking about encouragement, that you would have it being spoke today, Lord, at the house. And so Lord, I pray blessing over them right now and over these people and over the baptism. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You guys are all welcome to the baptism afterwards at our house. If you don't know how to get there...